Perspectives on Easter, a 1010 Thrive special. It was springtime, but it was colder than usual. The rains had stopped falling in Judea by the time we sailed from Antioch to Caesarea. But it was still muddy, especially in the countryside. Most of the inns were full or too expensive, so we mostly camped outdoors, usually in groves of olive trees. Forgive me, I should tell you who I am. I am called Simon. I am from an ancient Greek and then later Roman city in northeastern Africa called Cyrene. I was born there and lived in a community with thousands of other Jews. It was a year for us to take our firstborn Alexander to the temple. We traveled for more than a month from Cyrene. It was quite a journey. We traveled in caravans with other pilgrims. By the time we made it to Jerusalem, we were exhausted, yet still excited about being in the city for the Passover celebration. On the first day of the week, as we were headed to the market to buy lambs and bitter herbs, we noticed that there was some sort of commotion along the road not too far ahead of us. As we drew closer to a large crowd of people, we could hear shouting and singing and could see people waving their hands, and a few were even crying. And then, as if prompted by an invisible conductor, the throng began to chant, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Even though I am tall, I wasn't able to see what was happening. I tried to push past some of the people, and after some effort, I got a little closer to the edge of the crowd. I could see palm fronds being thrown down on the road, and the chanting got louder and more enthusiastic. I got excited. Some dignitary must be coming this way. But who could it be? No Roman governor or even a chief of the court of the Sanhedrin would get this kind of reception. I hoisted our youngest, Rufus, on my shoulders, so that he could get a better view. He started pointing before I could see anything. And then there he was, the man in the plain white robe, riding not on a colt, as I would have imagined would have been fitting for royalty, but on a slowly trotting donkey. I did not know who he was, still he cut a striking figure as he rode. His woolen hair was long, and little children were running beside him, and women were throwing him wreaths of grass and leaves. Some of those who regaled him with hosannas clapped and danced as he rode. We followed the procession for as long as we could, but then we had to head toward the market. It might take a while to get the merchants to accept our prices. We were heading back to the temple with the family when we encountered another crowd. There was shouting and cursing and crying, not at all like the jubilant celebration that we had witnessed just a few days earlier. Alexander wanted to see what was going on, so we got closer to the edge of the road. It did not take long to recognize what was happening. Someone was being taken out of the city, most likely to Golgotha for a crucifixion. We had seen such public executions before. The Romans loved to turn them into spectacles. But this crowd was unusually large, especially given the early hour. And why were so many people so impassioned? Some seemed distraught, and others seemed infuriated. I was not prepared for what I saw. There were more soldiers than you typically see at these events, and they were under the command of a centurion, a man who appeared to be of a high ranking. And the one condemned? He was stumbling along the road, bruised and bloodied, weighed down by the beams on which he was soon to be hung. It's odd. He was being led to his death, and yet he seemed calm and composed. There was something about his face. And then as I looked at him, I recognized who he was. He was the man who had been riding the donkey to the exultation of onlookers. What could he have done to have fallen out of favor so quickly? Then out of nowhere, one of the soldiers turned to me. He looked me dead in the eyes and snarled, "You! Come here!" I stood frozen in place. Rufus gripped my hand and squeezed tightly. The soldier walked toward me, and without warning, he clamped a heavy hand on my forearm and shoved me forward into the road. I caught myself before I could fall, and I could hear people gasping behind me. I looked up when the soldier was motioning toward the beams slipping from the grip of the condemned. "Carry the cross," he said in a manner that left no room for doubt. I had no choice. But I did not want to touch that thing. To carry a cross would make me unclean. It was the day after the Passover Seder, and although we had already eaten the main meal, there were still other sacrifices to be made and meals to be eaten. If I were unclean, I would be excluded from partaking. And then my eyes caught his, the man who was condemned to die. He was so weak from the beatings he had suffered and the cross that was weighing him down, and yet he still had a commanding presence. But the eyes are what I remembered. There was such light in those eyes. I can't be sure if I imagined this or not, but it seemed like he smiled at me, and that was all I needed. I picked up the cross, and I walked behind the condemned man through the streets of Old Jerusalem all the way to Golgotha. I saw people overcome with grief, reaching for the man as they wailed. I saw people shaking their hands or fists, scowling at him and taunting him. I was so close to him at times, it felt like all this attention was directed at me. The condemned came face to face with his mother. He spoke in halting breaths to some of the women who were crying for him. He collapsed several times, and each time as he was roughly pulled to his feet, he did not say a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. This was no ordinary man, and this was no ordinary crucifixion. Somehow I knew that I was a part of a plan that was bigger than me. In taking up that cross and following this man, whom I later learned was named Jesus, I was fulfilling my purpose. We remained in Jerusalem after the crucifixion and after the Passover. And early the next week, we heard rumors that Jesus, the man I watched die, was alive. And so we asked many of the locals about Jesus. Who was he? Where did he come from? Why was he condemned? And why did so many people claim that they had seen him come back from the dead? We stayed with other pilgrims from Cyrene until it was time for the Festival of Weeks. Many Jewish people from all over the empire gathered together in Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple. It was a time for us to mark the end of the wheat harvest and the beginning of the fruit harvest, to celebrate the blessings of God and to renew our commitment to following His commandments. Once again, as we left the temple, we encountered a crowd. This time it was a mixed group of people, devout Jews from every nation under heaven. Many of them were marveling, and I quickly understood why. Although there were people from places as disparate as Greece, Pamphylia, and Egypt, each of them heard messages being spoken to them in their own language. And the messengers were all Judeans, and they all appeared to be unschooled men. Some in the crowd were amazed, while others thought the Judeans were drunk. It was at this point that a man named Peter stood up and addressed the crowd, explaining that he and his companions were not drunk, but were filled with the Holy Spirit. He then went on to preach a powerful sermon and called on the people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of the man whose cross I carried all the way to Golgotha. He said that Jesus, the condemned man, was the Son of God. And strange though that might sound, I believed him.